Podcast with Brother Scott. We are thrilled that you have taken time out of your day to explore with us God's timeless truth. Regardless of who we are, we all need the light of God's Word to illuminate our path for this day. And now, here's our youth pastor, Brother Scott.
Hello and welcome to the Truth to You Podcast. It is Wednesday, February the 14th, and we are back looking at the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. But before we get to that, I want to welcome Brother Sam. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Brother Scott?
I'm doing fantastic. And I think it's probably a good thing that we go ahead and let our listeners know that we're doing our recording a little differently today. So if there are any technical difficulties along the way, they'll have an understanding of that. But Brother Sam, it's great to hear your voice. And I'm looking forward to talking through 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with you today. But before we do that, I'm hoping that you brought a joke or two to entertain our listeners.
Oh, well, you are in luck, Brother Scott. I was thinking about what we could do. And, you know, the Super Bowl has just happened. And, you know, I thought, you know, it's one of those things that I wanted to do a Super Bowl. We kind of switched our day, right? Usually we're on Fridays, and right. I was thinking we would be doing the joke before the Super Bowl, but you guys already know what has happened with the Super Bowl. So anyway, I'm going to do a few post-dated Super Bowl jokes here, and I think they're pretty funny. Let me see here. This one. Here we go. Why can't football players wear glasses on the field?
Ooh, I mean, aside from being dangerous, I don't know.
It's because it's a contact sport, Brother Scott.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that.
Why do psychiatrists love football players?
They have something to do with the head. I don't know.
Yep, sort of. Yeah, they tackle their problems head on.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then here's my favorite. Why was Cinderella such a lousy football player?
Oh, I could think of multiple reasons.
Oh. Please give us some.
for this. Well, I mean, you know, it's those glass slippers.
Oh.
You know, I just don't know that I would want to, you know, try to run with those on.
Yeah. Well, glass cleats, you know, it might, you never know.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's true. I'm just thinking of shards of glass and the bottom of my feet. That sounds very painful. But what is your reason?
Yes. Well, you know, Cinderella was a bad football player because her coach was a pumpkin.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I like
took a
it.
Second for me too. I was like, yeah. That doesn't make sense. And I was like, oh, actually it does.
Right. Yeah. And you know, as soon as you said like pumpkin, I think of, you know, how often like that's used, like, oh, you're going to turn into a pumpkin, you know, it's kind of like, so I'm thinking of a transition and then I'm like, wait, hold on. Back
no,
out
that's
of that.
It.
Well, good. You brought some good ones for us to laugh at. Hopefully on this Wednesday morning, the teenagers are feeling bright eyed and bushy tail, whatever that means. And they're ready for the day. All right, let's go ahead to our memory verse. And, of course, this is the last day for it tonight in group time. Teens, you're welcome to say 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, "This grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and Brother Sam, would you go ahead and read the verse here, verse 22, so that we can kind of get the foundation of what we're going to talk about today?
Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22, the Bible says, "To the weak," this is Paul speaking, "to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." 1 Corinthians 9:22.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks, Brother Sam. So, you know, this is a fascinating verse to me. And I think that sometimes we look at a verse like this and we automatically go to an extreme place. And so it maybe can take on a negative connotation in our mind. But let's just break this down for a second. So What do we know about the Apostle Paul? Well, we know he was burdened for people. We know that he was burdened for his own people. We know that he was burdened for all types of people. And what was the burden in relation to? Well, it was relation to the fact that without Christ, people would die in their sin and they'd spend an eternity in hell. So this verse really is a large part has to do with reaching other people, reaching them with the gospel and the things that he would do in order to be able to have the opportunity to communicate with other people. So again, what does it say here? It says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And so, you know, again, this is Paul's heart, his burden for people and how to reach them. Let me just say this. This is what this is not saying. This is not saying that, you know, you have to become like the world to reach the world. Okay, that's an extreme place. Paul is just simply talking about human relations here. In other words, a human being's attempt to relate to another human being. And we do that in different ways. Simply by greeting each other in the morning, good morning, good afternoon. You know, you can relate to anybody by, you know, even, you know, greeting them in a certain fashion. But he would relate to the weak by maybe reflecting on the times that he had experienced weakness. His attempt was to be all things to all men. Okay, so we see that. And this is where I want to throw it to you, Brother Sam, and I appreciate you being patient. But let's take this to a point of actionable steps in 2024. And let me just ask you this question. What would you say? What would you say to this? What would be the first thing that you think you would say we need to have in mind when, you know, we want to do as Paul did here?
Yeah. Well, first thing is, obviously we have to reach out to people, but I think there's even a prerequisite to that, which, you know, and you say that, you know, your first line in the devotional, you know, Paul had a burden and, you know, we should have a burden and a concern for others. Right. Obviously we can reach out to people, but, you know, we need to have a purpose and a burden of, okay, well, why are you reaching out? It's, you know, to ultimately, you know, preach Christ to them so that they become saved. So, but yes, reaching out to them, and that can, you know, that can be through, you know, some of you, you know, if you're, some of you might be going to a public school or a private school where that, you know, there are a lot of unsaved, you know, people. And so you can be reaching out, you know, even in just friendly conversation in the morning and try to build some friendships with those people, but in a sense of knowing, okay, I'm not trying, you know, to become like, you know, the world, but I'm trying to reach them by, you know, showing, hey, I care about you. I'm concerned about you. How was your day? How was your week? And show a concern for, you know, their life.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, I think about, you know, how sometimes personality can make this easier or even more difficult.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When we're talking about the, you know, the reaching out aspect, you know, there's some people who are very sociable. There's some people who are not, you know, and they enjoy being alone, and any interaction, you know, kind of puts them, you know, on their heels a bit. But, you know, we have to remember that this is not a command just given to people who, you know, are extra social. You know, this is a command that's really given to all of us and should be tied to just a burning desire to take that first step, which is to that reach out, right? And that's the kind of the point that you brought out there. And then if we could build on that, I'd say number two. So number one, like you said, reach out. Number two, try to relate. And that's what Paul's really developing here, this thought of, you know, being able to look at somebody else and find some commonality. And obviously with an unsaved person, there's going to be a whole lot of things, spiritually speaking, that, you know, are not relatable. But all of us can find commonalities with other people. And I would just say this, I think one of the things that, you know, makes us unrelatable is maybe, you know, when we look at people and we say, well, you know, those people, that person is, you know, he looks like he's from the country and does, you know, I don't do anything like that. I can't talk to people like that. Right. You know, where we're almost, you know, building this wall before we even get a chance to approach someone just because maybe they do things, you know, or their culture that they're, you know, they're living in or that they've grown up in is different than our own. And I'll say this as well, that there's nothing that can put up barriers between us and other people than us like criticizing their culture, you know, yeah. Like, you know, you meet somebody, maybe you open up a line of communication and they say, well, I like to fish. And you say, well, that's dumb. You know, why would you go out in a boat and stick a line in the water for, you know, and truth is, if I've never done that, you know, and that might be dumb to me, but man, we really throw up some barriers whenever we, you know, try to talk to people and then are not able to relate and have some social awareness in that moment. So
yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so okay, so reach out, try to relate. This doesn't mean you becoming their best friends with a lost person and you're gonna now take on their things that they're not doing well. And you know, this doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just opening some dialogue, being patient, trying to find some connecting points. And then what would you say would be another thought in relation to these?
Yeah, so keeping the end goal in mind, which is what? Well, you know, you're obviously talking with them, you know, and it's not like every single word that's coming out of your mouth is about becoming a Christian.
Yeah,
right. As you're talking to them, but you know that as you're talking to them, you're trying to build a friendship with them so that you can, you know, have the opportunity to eventually present the gospel. And you know, there are times back when I used to work at Chick-fil-A, you know, I would talk with coworkers and everything. And then I'd get to a point where once they, you know, they felt comfortable enough, you know, carrying on a conversation one-on-one with me because they knew me a little bit. Either if I was on break with them or whatever, and even now at my work currently, I've found that probably the easiest way to segue into something spiritual is to ask them if they go to church or where they go to church.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's like a really passive way instead of saying, you know, hey, if you died this second, do you know where
right.
you would go? I mean, that's
right.
There's nothing wrong with that, but that's very abrupt, right? So if you say, ask them about church, that opens up the category of, you know, they're like, oh, well, where do you go to church? And then I tell them and I say, you know, and you can easily at that point kind of segue into what you believe and why you believe it. And a lot of times they'll start asking questions at that point. But obviously, you know, having that in mind, the whole concept of why are you trying to build a relationship with this person? Well, it's so that you can point them to Christ.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's such a great point. And I really liked how you brought out, just what, you know, the things that we might emphasize when we talk to lost people. And I believe that, you know, our culture, our nation, for that matter, has changed significantly in the last 50 years.
Oh, for sure.
You know, some people like to use the term, we're becoming more secular in nature. And there used to be a sort of a canopy of understanding where there were just a lot of God-fearing people living in the United States. And so there was, you know, people were more comfortable with the concept of God. And it was certainly, you know, that was more of a commonality across the board. But as we become more secular, that's becoming further from the case. And maybe whereas you used to cut right to the chase, you know, if you were to die today, I think that that kind of statement could even scare some people today.
Right.
you know, especially I think about the area that the Lord has placed us. You've got people here from all around the world and who are trying to contextualize every interaction they have with people. And boy, how intimidating that might be, you know, to some of them.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think we've had a good discussion here today, and, you know, just trying to talk about some of the nuts and bolts here of, you know, what reaching others can look like. And, you know, we really need the Spirit of God to help us as we try to, you know, find ways that we can connect with lost people. And certainly, you know, for teens, that's a great conversation to have with their parents and say, hey, mom, dad, you know, what are some ways that I can be more evangelistic, you know, outside of maybe just talking to the people at my school, which is not a bad place to start, even if you do go to a Christian school. So anyway, some just really great things here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, how to reach other people. We've talked about, you know, make the attempt. We've talked about relate, and then keep that end in mind that everyone will spend an eternity somewhere. And so that can fuel our passion for sharing Christ with other people. Okay, Brother Sam, I think that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for joining us on this episode. And before we go, I want to mention our teenager of the day. It is Dariana. We're praying for her. And so teens that are listening, you see her in the hallway today, make sure she knows that she's appreciated and that we're praying for her today. All right, Brother Sam, I hope that you have a good rest of your day and appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Same to you, Brother Scott. And see you guys next Wednesday.
All right. Take care.